ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुषोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सुजीवं साधयितं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य दशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पापनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरतिष्ये नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंध दीनबंध जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुतदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टके। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 20 लॉर्ड विष्णुज अपीयरेंस इन द सैक्रिफिशियल एरिना टेक्स्ट नंबर 37। भगवानपि राजर्षे सोपद्य अस्य चाच्युतः हरन्निव मनमुष्य सदम प्रत्यपद्यत। भगवानपि राजर्षे सोपद्य अस्य चाच्युतः हरनिव मनमुष्य सदम प्रत्यपद्यत। भगवानपि राजर्षे सोपद्य अस्य चाच्युतः हरनिव मनमुष्य सदम प्रत्यपद्यत।
Thank you.
Mataji's. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Opi, also. Rajarse, of the saintly king. Sa Upadhyaya Asya, along with all the priests. Cha, also. Achyutaha, the infallible Lord. Haran, captivating. Eva, indeed. Manaha, the mind. Amushya, of him. Sadhama, to his abode. Pratyapadyata, returned. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, having captivated the minds of the king and the priest who were present, returned to his abode in the spiritual sky. Please repeat. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, having captivated the minds of the king and the priests who were present, returned to his abode in the spiritual sky. Purport. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all spiritual, he can descend from the spiritual sky without changing his body. And thus he is known as Achyuta or infallible. When a living entity falls down to the material world, however, he has to accept a material body, and therefore in his material embodiment he cannot be called Achyuta, because he falls down from his real engagement in the service of the Lord. The living entity gets a material body to suffer or try to enjoy in the miserable material conditions of life. Therefore, the fallen living entity is called Chyuta, whereas Lord is called Achyuta. The Lord was attractive for everyone, not only the king, but also the priestly order, who were very much addicted to the performance of Vedic rituals. Because the Lord is all-attractive, he is called Krishna, or one who attracts everyone. The Lord appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Pithu as Hiradakshaya Vishnu, who is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. He is the second incarnation from Karanadakshaya Vishnu, who is the origin of material creation and who expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who then enters into each and every universe. Hiradakshaya Vishnu is one of the Purushas who control material modes of nature. Mukam Kurati Vachalam Pangur Langhaita Giring Jatkipa Tamaham Bande Sri Kridina Tarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Sharam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna. So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, so Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena of Pithu Maharaj, and now he is returning back to the spiritual sky. So main theme in the translation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead captivated the minds of everyone. And Srila Prabhupada is making two points in the purport. The first point is, Prabhupada is stressing on the term Achyuta. What is the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the conditioned living entity? is pointing out that all the living entities, those who are in the material world, they are called Chyuta. Means they have fallen down from the spiritual sky and has accepted a material body to suffer or try to enjoy in the miserable condition of this material world. But Krishna, when he comes, he does not come in a different body. His body is same. Whatever body he has in the spiritual world, with the same body he appears here, and with the same body he disappears. So that's why Krishna is called Achyuta. He does not fall down. He appears. And we, the living entity, we fall down. That's why we are called Chyuta. As Krishna never falls down, that's why he is called Achyuta. Srila Prabhupada explains the appearance and disappearance of Krishna. He is comparing that with the appearance and disappearance of the sun. So here we see the sun every day. It rises in the east and sets in the west. So it doesn't mean that in the morning the sun is taking bath and in the evening he is dying. It's not like that. So in the morning sun appears and in the evening sun disappears. In the same way, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears in this world, stays for some time and disappears from this material world, just like the sun. And also Prabhupada gives another insight to this example. He is telling, it's not that in the morning sun is there and whole day sun was there, in the evening sun is not there. Sun is always there. In the morning sun is also there, in noontime sun is also there, in the evening sun is also there, at night also sun is there. But due to our conditioned sight, defective seeing capacity, the conditioned souls or these living entities on this planet also, they see the sun and sometimes they don't see the sun. But sun is always there. Because of our limited sight, sometimes sun is visible to us and sometimes sun is not visible to us. But sun is always there. In the same way, Krishna is eternally there, is always there. But sometimes it appears to our material sight and sometimes it disappears from our material sight. That is Krishna's appearance and disappearance. And Prabhupada is giving another insight. Sometimes Krishna, we always say that Krishna was there in this planet for 125 years. Just like he was there 11 and a half years in Vrindavan, 13 and a half years in Mathura, 100 years in Dwarka, 125 years. So we have a tendency to calculate the age of Krishna. That is also a very defective attempt. Just like he is giving the example, the sun, when he rises in the morning, maybe he is one day old, 1 hour old, something like that. Then when he comes at the midday, so that time 12 o'clock, it doesn't mean that that time sun is 12 hours old. And when he sets in the west in the evening, then he is dead. Krishna should not be considered like that. Just like sun is the same. While he was rising in the morning, same sun. When he was there at our midday, that time is the same sun. When the sun is disappearing at the time of evening, same sun. So he is not controlled by the time. Rather, sun controls the time. When sun appears, it's morning. When sun comes at our head, that's time noontime. And when sun disappears, it's evening. So that's the difference. So time does not control the sun, rather sun controls the time. In the same way, Krishna is not controlled by the time of this material world. Rather, Krishna controls the time. He is always youthful. Navajovamanancha. But due to our defective sight, just like we see sun, red sun in the morning, then more bright sun in the daytime, then again he disappears. In the same way, Krishna appears as a small baby, then he becomes young, then he matures, then he disappears. But Krishna is always the same. But due to our defective vision, Krishna appears differently during the different phases of his pastimes. So we should not misunderstand Krishna by judging him according to the time factor of this material world. Krishna is not controlled by the time, he is always eternally youth. And the last point Prabhupada is making, that who does not have any knowledge of the astronomy, is very difficult to understand why and how the sun is rising, sun is going into the midday and again disappearing. It's very difficult for the common people to understand. Very bewildering. How is happening? Mysterious to the common people. But those who knows the science of astronomy, is very clear to them. How sun appears and disappears. It's very clear to them. In the same way, those who know the science of Krishna, those who know the science of Krishna consciousness, it's not bewildering for them how Krishna appears and how Krishna disappears. So just like in order to understand the rising and setting of the sun, you have to be acquainted with the science of astronomy. In the same way, in order to understand Krishna's appearance and disappearance, you have to be knowledgeable in the science of Krishna consciousness. So in that way, Prabhupada is making a very strong point that Krishna is achyuta, he never falls down. Whether he is in this material world, whether in the spiritual world, everywhere he is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never changed. He never falls down. He is eternally situated. That's why he is called Achyuta. Second point Prabhupada is making, Krishna is all attractive. Now, meaning of Krishna means who attracts everyone. So Krishna is all attractive. Here in this world also, people attract us. So there are six opulences. Who has the power to attract? Who has wealth? Who has beauty? Who has knowledge? Who has renunciation? There are six qualities. If someone has to some extent, if someone is very beautiful, he can attract someone. If someone has lot of money, he attracts people. Someone is very famous, attracts people. Someone who is very knowledgeable, attracts people. Someone is very strong, he attracts people. And someone who is renounced, he attracts people. So who is Bhagavan? According to Parashar Muni, Aisharjasya samagrasya virjasya jasahasriya jnana vairagasya eva sangnam bhaga itingana. The Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is defined as one who has these six opulences. Means wealth, aisharjasya samagrasya, wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. Someone who has these six opulences in full at the same time, that person is called Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If someone has little wealth of this world, if he can attract so many people, if someone has little beauty in this world, can attract so many people, so we should imagine a person who has all these six opulences in full, how much attractive he will be. That's why Krishna is all attractive, because he has these six opulences in full. Why we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because Krishna exhibited all these six opulences while he was performing his pastimes in this material world. He exhibited all these six opulences in full. That's why he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I don't have time to describe why and how Krishna exhibited all these qualities. So we can discuss in other classes. But different pastimes and different activities of Krishna exhibited all these six opulences in full in his personality. In his personality. That's why he is called the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So opulences attract people. So therefore, Krishna has all the six opulences. Because he has all the opulences, therefore he attracts everyone. That's why he is called all attractive. But Krishna, he is full in Dwaraka. He is complete. But he is more complete in Mathura. And he is most complete in Vrindavan. So Krishna has two aspects, opulence and sweetness. In Dwaraka, Krishna is all opulent. He exhibited all the opulences. But sweetness is not so prevalent there. But Mathura, he is mixed with opulence and sweetness. That's why he is more complete. But in Vrindavan, both opulences and sweetness have come to a climax, means supremely perfect. That's why Krishna in Vrindavan is the most complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because he is the most sweet personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Devotion, he says that Krishna has four extra qualities which makes Krishna superior or better or sweeter, whatever, than Vishnu. So, according to the scriptures, the living entity has 50 qualities, not in full, partial. Lord Shiva has 55 qualities. And Vishnu has 60 qualities. But Krishna, as the super complete Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has 64 qualities. And these four extra qualities are not there. It's there but not exhibited by any other form of the Lord. I was hearing a nice point that Vishnu, we should not think that Vishnu is not complete. We should not misunderstand that. Oh, Lord Nrisimhadev don't have these four qualities, that's why he is not complete. We should not think like that. It's a spiritual concept. So I was hearing, it's not that Nrisimhadev cannot do Rasalila. He can. But he is not supposed to do that. Because he is an avatar and he is limited by his pastimes. Nrisimhadev comes not to perform Rasalila. Nrisimhadev appears to protect Prahlad Maharaj and kills Hiranyakashipu. That's his purpose. Just like when Vamanadev comes, he comes for a specific purpose. So every incarnations, when they appear in this world, they have a specific purpose. Just like an actor, I was hearing one lecture, someone is giving example. Just like one actor in a film. So, that actor at home, he is that man. But when he is acting in a particular character in a film, he is limited by that. But a person at home is not limited by that. He can perform all the characters in different films. At the same time, he can do something else which all other people cannot do. In the same way, Krishna is that Lord at home. So Prabhupada said, Krishna is Lord at home and Vishnu is Lord at office. That's the difference. So Vishnu is very active, managing. But Krishna is not active, means he does not have the anxiety to manage. But Vishnu's management is a little different than our management. So just like Prabhupada is giving three Vishnus. So all these three Vishnus, they manage whole material creation. Hiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Hiradakshaya Vishnu. What they are doing? They are running? No. they are lying down. They are lying down and sleeping. And by sleeping, they are managing the whole affairs of the material world. But we know those who are managing ISKCON, when we manage, our sleep goes away. So, but Krishna, when he manages, he sleeps. So that is the difference between Krishna's management and our management. So that's why there is a difference between God and conditioned living entity. So Krishna is God. Why is God? Because someone came from the West to search for God. Who is God? So India is the best place to search for God, and also is a good place to be confused also. Because there are so many gods in India. Especially in Kali Yuga, generally in India, in Hindu religion, there is a concept of 33 crores of demigods. And Indian people, they think all of them are God. So 33 crores God, you understand? Who is God? It's very confusion. And also, Krishna is God, Vishnu is God, and unlimited incarnations are there. So who is 33 crores demigods and unlimited incarnation of Vishnu? So we have this complete picture of Hindu religion. So even after that, Hindus are not happy. We need more. So every day they are creating new God. So Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, we have started a factory of creating God. So every day in every corner of, in some corner of India, some God is created. So who will not be confused to search for God? So therefore those who are not searching for God, they have a peaceful time. But at least those who have accepted that there is God, so people in India, they have a hard time to understand who is God. So therefore, one man came from the West to search for God. So he was going to different temples of demigods and different temples of Vishnu. So he went everywhere. And while he was returning, he was sitting in the airport. One reporter came and asked him, "So you have come to search for God. So who is God?" So he said, "Krishna is God." He said, "You have gone to ISKCON or what?" So he said, no, it's not that ISKCON has brainwashed me. So why you are accepting Krishna is God? He said that I have gone to different temples and everywhere I saw that they are doing something very busy with 4 hands, 6 hands, 10 hands, with so many weapons, they are very busy. So he said, "I am also busy, so you are also busy, how you can be God?" So then I went to a temple of Krishna, that there I saw this God is not doing anything. He is holding a flute and having a girlfriend and dancing. So I thought, this must be God, because he does not have to do anything. So therefore, Krishna is the super complete form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he does not have any headache of management. He doesn't have to manage, because he is at home all the time. So therefore, Krishna is the most attractive form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he has 6 extra qualities. He has 4 extra qualities. What are those four qualities? First is called Lila Madhuri. Then Pema Madhuri, Venu Madhuri and Rupa Madhuri. So these 4 sweetness of Krishna makes Krishna the most attractive feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first is Lila Madhuri. Lila Madhuri means Krishna's sweet pastime. Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan is very sweet. And out of the different pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis is the most sweet pastime, the Rasa Lila. So Mahaprabhu, while traveling in South India, he stayed in Srirangam. And there was a personality, a devotee of Vishnu, his name is Venkat Bhatta, the father of Gopal Bhatta. So Mahaprabhu started talking to Venkat Bhatta. So Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Venkat Bhatta, so here Lakshmiji," because he is the worshipper of Lakshmi and Narayan. He's telling, "Here Lakshmiji, he is the Sati lady, most chaste lady. And she is always there at the chest of Narayan. And she is completely satisfied. So why your Lakshmiji wanted to take part in Rasa Leela and dance with Krishna. Why? She is jokingly asking. He said, why not? Krishna and Narayan is same. So he is attracted to Narayan. What's wrong? Lakshmiji is attracted to Krishna. Okay, it's a good argument. So yes, if Krishna and Narayan is the same, so then why your Lakshmiji is not allowed to enter into the Rasleela Vrindavan? Why she is not allowed? She is still doing tapasya in Belbon, Srivon in Vrindavan. So why she is not allowed to enter into Rasleela if Krishna and Narayan is the same? So I don't know what you are talking, you are too high-fi topic, I don't understand. Then Mahaprabhu said, gopis, they worship Krishna. Okay? So gopis worship Krishna. If Narayan and Krishna is the same, then gopis should also be attracted to Narayan. But why there was a pastime, Rasleela pastime, Krishna left Rasleela and gopis were searching for Krishna. And Krishna assumed the form of Narayan, and when the gopis saw that Krishna is standing, but when they approached nearby, they saw it's Narayan. And they become disgusted. And they said, they offered obeisances and said, my dear Narayan, can you tell me where is Krishna? And Narayan said, like that. So they gopis said, thank you very much. And they were searching for Krishna. Why the gopis are not attracted to Narayan if Krishna and Narayan is the same? But here Lakshmiji, he has a husband, Narayan, but she is attracted to Rasleela of Krishna. Why? So in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish the supremacy of Krishna in Vrindavan and his pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. That is the most sweet pastime. And we can enter into those pastimes only if you have two qualities. First, you have to get a body of a gopi, gopi deha, and you have to accept the mood of gopi, gopi deha and gopi bhav. So Lord Shiva and Narad Muni, they all also got attracted and they wanted to participate in Rasleela of Krishna. So both of them went, but they are not allowed. So there are two sarovars, one is called Mansarovar, another one is called Kusum Sarovar. So in these two ponds, one Kusum Sarovar, Narad Muni took bath, entered into the water of Kusum Sarovar, I think. And when he came out, he got the body of a gopi. And Lord Shiva also entered into the Mansarovar in Belvan. He also took bath and got the body of gopis. Then we should not misunderstand. As soon as we have the female body, we can enter into Vrindavan. No. We have to have the gopi bhav. What is that gopi bhav? Gopi bhav means gopi bhartu padakamala das dasanudas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, in order to enter into the Rasleela of Vrindavan, you have to become the servant of 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 the gopis. So Lakshmiji wanted to enter into Rasleela independently of the gopis. That's why she was not allowed. In the same way, if we try to enter into Rasleela Vrindavan independently, then it's not possible for us. We have to take shelter of the gopis of Vrindavan. Then we can enter into the Rasleela of Krishna. So that is the mood of Gauriya Vaishnavas, and that mood was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to take shelter of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is called Leela Madhuri. Second is called Prema Madhuri. Sweet pastimes, sweet devotees. So devotees of Vrindavan are very sweet. Most sweet devotees. How was their intensity of love? So Sanatana Goswami explains in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the intensity of love of gopas, cowherd boys of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, Jugayitam Nimesana Chakshusa Paprisayitam. We all chant, but we don't experience that. Right? So, but cowherd boys of Vrindavan, they experience that. So, they go for grazing the cows, and there are a lot of trees in Vrindavan. So, when Krishna goes, so there is a tree. So, sometimes Krishna goes just behind the tree, and Krishna's vision was not there for a moment. So, as soon as that moment comes, when the gopas, cowherd boys don't see Krishna, they faint. So, that is the level of love of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. Jugayitam Nimesena Chakshusa Paprisayitam. And what's the love of the gopis? So, Krishna goes out for grazing cows daytime. So, that time gopis don't have any access to Krishna. And they are telling in Srimad Bhagavatam that each moment is like 12 years. It's like a Jugayitam Nimesena. It's very difficult to tolerate the separation. So, that's happening to the gopis when Krishna is not there, when he is herding the cows. And when he comes back, that time gopis are just waiting to see Krishna. And they are so attracted to see the beauty of Krishna, but their eyes are like that, want to see Krishna all the time, but sometimes our eyelids blink. And that blinking of the eyes, they get so much disturbed, and they become so much angry to Lord Brahma, and telling this Brahma does not have any brain. He's a foolish person. He should have given so many eyes to see Krishna, but he has given only two eyes. And he has given two eyes, but he has given the eyelids, and that's blinking. He does not have any sense how to create. And he condemned Lord Brahma. So, that blinking of the eyelid, that much of separation, they cannot tolerate. By that, we can understand how much intense love the gopis have for Krishna in Vrindavan. So therefore, Krishna is surrounded with all these devotees of Vrindavan. That's why Krishna is very sweet. That is called Prema Madhuri. And third one is called Venu Madhuri. So Venu Madhuri is also one of the attractive quality of Krishna. So Krishna uses three kinds of flute. One is called Venu, other one is called Bangshi, and third one is called Murali. So Venu is 6 inches long. And Murali is 18 inches long. And other one, what is Venu, Murali and Bangshi is 15 inches long. And there are different holes also, different number of holes. And Krishna vibrates 8 kinds of tunes while he plays on the flute. And each tone or tune attracts different kind of people. So it's described that first category of tune, when he plays on that flute, when that tune comes out, all the demigods, they wake up from their meditation. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, when they are meditating, they wake up by hearing that tune. Second tune, when that is vibrated, Jamuna flows in a one direction. As soon as Jamuna hears that, he flows back. That is the power of the second tune of Krishna. So Krishna's flow. Third tune, what he does, as soon as moon hears that tune, moon stops rotating. Moon stops. Fourth category of tune, that is for the cows. As soon as the cows hear that tune, they run behind Krishna like a mad man. So they run behind Krishna. Fourth. Fifth tune, Krishna attracts the gopis. So when Krishna vibrates that tune, gopis got attracted. Sixth tune, by vibrating the sixth tune, the season of autumn manifests. And when the stone hears that, the stone melts. That is the power of sixth tune. Seventh tune, when he vibrates that, all the symptoms of six seasons manifest in Vrindavan. And eighth tune is meant for Srimati Radharani only. So when Krishna wants to have pastimes with Srimati Radharani, he vibrates the eighth tune, and that only is heard by Srimati Radharani only. So in that way, Krishna performs his pastimes and attracts different kind of people by vibrating different tunes through his different kinds of flutes. And that's why it is so sweet. That's why Krishna is one of the sweetness is Venu Madhuri. And the last is Rupa Madhuri. So Rupa Madhuri, Krishna is very beautiful. Right? Krishna is extremely beautiful. So Krishna's beauty attracts everyone. It attracts the beauty, it attracts the gopis. So one day, some gopis came to Radharani and told Radharani that I am very fortunate today, I saw the beauty of the whole body of Krishna. So Radharani said, you are very fortunate because I don't get any chance to see all the parts of the body of Krishna. Because as soon as I see one part, one limb of Krishna, my eyes are struck there and it cannot move from that limb. So I cannot see the whole body of Krishna ever. So we are very fortunate. So that way we can understand how beautiful Krishna is. It's not only the gopis or Radharani, they are attracted by the beauty of Krishna. Krishna himself gets attracted by his beauty. So one day in Dwaraka, Krishna saw the reflection of his beauty. He said, oh, what a beautiful boy, who is this? Then he realized this is his reflection only. He said, so I am so beautiful, but all the people are enjoying my beauty except me. But I am the supreme enjoyer. So how I can complete in my enjoyment? So I have to enjoy my beauty. So in that way, he was lamenting and thought, we have to do something. Then Krishna assumed the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to release the beauty of Krishna. So in that way, Krishna's beauty is all attractive. So in that way, by these four qualities, Krishna attracts everyone. And by these four qualities, Krishna is most attractive and most sweet personality of Godhead. And by this sweetness, Krishna's opulence is covered. The Vrindavan, Krishna is not God. Krishna is a sweet cowherd boy. So the Brajavasis love Krishna not because Krishna is God. They love Krishna because of this four sweetness exhibited by Krishna in Vrindavan. So therefore, Krishna's form in Vrindavan is the most complete and the most sweet form, and by that he attracts everyone. So Krishna Prabhupada is telling, Krishna is all attractive, but we are very unfortunate. Krishna has so much attractive quality, but we are not attracted to Krishna. We are attracted by the false beauty of this material world. Why? Because we have the Ishvara Bhav. We want to become God and compete with Krishna. So therefore, instead of being attracted to Krishna, we are attracted and enamored by the beauty of this material world. So Prabhupada said, the opposite poles attract and same pole repels. So because we want to become God and try to have the same pole like Krishna, we repel. In order to be attracted to Krishna, we have to accept Akela Ishvara Krishna Arsa Bhitta. Krishna is the only Purusha. When we accept that and we submit to that conclusion, then we will be attracted to Krishna and we will not be attracted by the false beauty of this material world. So how we can overcome that? By taking shelter of the devotees, by taking shelter of the devotees who have attraction for Krishna, by serving them, slowly, slowly, one day, we can develop attraction for Krishna, who is the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I took a little more time, please forgive me for that. So if you have any question or comment, Ragatmika Mataji, Madhai Prabhu, eighth tune. You can read Appreciating Vrindavan Dham by Mahanidhi Maharaj. Here, there he describes different kinds of flutes and different kinds of tunes. It's from different shastra. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for this nice class. So Krishna is all attractive, but we can see that only the analog devotees, they can just sweet Krishna. But hundreds and millions of people and the teacher, they're not attracted to Krishna. How is that?
I explained that. So conditioned souls are not attracted to Krishna because we all want to become God. So same pole repels. So Krishna is positive, we should be negative. So when positive poles and negative pole, when both are there, they attract. But when we put two poles, two positive, then they repel. So we all try to become God here. So because of that, we are Ishvara Bhav. Because we all want to become God, then how we can be attracted to God? So therefore, millions of, trillions of people, all the living entities, conditioned in this material world are not attracted to Krishna. Because of that defect in our consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Okay. Vasudev Prabhu, then you.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you made a big point in the beginning of your class about Chuta and Achuta. Achuta being the Lord and Chuta being the conditioned soul. Usually when we compare two things, we compare two things of the same category. But here you did not compare the conditioned soul with the pure souls in the Goloka, who are also, in Bhagavad Gita, they are also referred to as infallible.
Yeah.
So why not say something about them? Are they also Achuta? And why did you not mention them and compare the conditioned soul to them?
Yeah, so it's a good question. You already mentioned. So there are two kinds of living entities. One is called eternally liberated, another one is called eternally conditioned. So eternally liberated soul, they are always in the spiritual world. They are also Achyuta. They never fall down. But there are conditioned living entities, marginal potency, they fall down.
I thought the pure souls were also Tathastra Shakti.
There are two kinds of jivas also. Those who take shelter, they are completely coming from the internal potency of the Lord, and someone is coming from the marginal potency of the Lord. Rupa Goswami, he never falls down. We should not compare Rupa Goswami with all of us. They are coming, they are Sarupa Shakti. We are Jiva Shakti. There is a difference. All the gopis, manjaris, those who have come to take part in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, so they never fall down.
Are you saying that the conditioned souls who do make it to the spiritual world, they become Sarupa Shakti, or do they also...
No, they acquire the quality of the Sarupa Shakti. So marginal potency, when they take shelter of the Sarupa Shakti, they get the quality of the Sarupa Shakti. And when they rebel, they take shelter of the marginal, they take shelter of the material potency, and they become the, they exhibit the quality of the material world.
It is said that once they go there, they never return to this world. So are they still Tathastra Shakti?
Yes,
or not?
They are still Tathastra Shakti. That nature cannot change. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You have described very nicely that the Dwaraka, there is opulence. In Mathura, it's a mix of opulence and sweetness. And Vrindavan is totally sweetness. We find also in Bhagavatam that Vrindavan, since the birth of Lord Krishna, it was full of opulence also. Tata Pravriti Nandasya Braja Sarva Samriddhiman Hare Nivasatma Gunai Rama Kridam Abhundipa. The Braja becomes the playground of Lakshmiji, and she comes with all the opulence. So how we understand this?
I never told that Vrindavan doesn't have the opulence. So the opulence, whatever opulence Dwaraka has, Vrindavan has much, much more than Dwaraka. opulence. But opulence does not have any importance in Vrindavan. Sweetness takes over the importance of opulences. Opulences are not so important. Because Krishna is so sweet, so just like Mata Yashoda saw that Krishna, the whole universes are there in the mouth of Krishna. Krishna showed his opulence. But then again, Yogamaya potency covered it over. It's not so important. So Krishna is God. Then if you say to Mother Yashoda, she'll laugh. But Krishna is God. So all the opulences, when you exhibit opulences, then you don't have that sweetness of love. And you cannot become close. You can see here also, in an office, an office boss cannot be so intimate with his subordinates. It's official. But at home, that position is not important. Prabhupada is telling that high court judge, no? In the high court judge in the court, sitting like that, giving judgment, and he's like a lord. So then same judge goes to the house and his grandson tells, I want to ride on your back, and he becomes the horse of his grandson. So that is the difference between Krishna and Vishnu, opulence and sweetness. So Krishna gets lot of, much more pleasure when he has sweet pastimes, because that is the best way to exchange love. Love gets completeness when there is sweetness. But when opulence is there, that love is not complete. But it doesn't mean that Vrindavan doesn't have opulence. Super opulent place, the most opulent place in the whole creation, Vrindavan. Okay, so we'll end here. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय समवेत गौर भक्तविंद की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल।